to use my brain for you, and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. I don't need words, and I don't need songs, but I choose to use them. My light shines red when it shines for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't hot air. How I choose to love you. Light shines red when it shines for two. You turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibilities. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything I need.
I
don't need words, I don't need songs, but I choose. Oh, this little light of mine, God, you keep it burning.
Understanding of what this is all about. Father God, we're asking right now that you would continue to increase the intelligence of our wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to them that submit and obey you. Father God, right now we're asking that you continue to bless us with the knowledge of your will, giving us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you, which is so vast and endless. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. We want it to be upon all of be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. I started before Easter week doing the end of days series. And I don't know how long it's going to last. Every time I think it's going to be one day, it end up being 10. But, you know, I do as I'm told. One of the major lessons I learned is that you do what God say, how he say, when he say, where he say, you know. And that's what this life is about. He wants us to understand that aspect. It's a lot of things that would be different if it was up, it just would be. But that is the point of this, is because we are given so much power and authority. And because we don't get to use it as we please, we don't think it's there. I mean, we see, we hear, but we really don't contemplate or really know it. The people that have passed on fully recognize it now. Now they understand why God went through the process. The training day is based on 1 John 3:2 and Philippians 3:20-21. Let me just go through that right now, because you have to really go to God and get him to fix it in your heart so you can understand it, because I might not be the one that can make it plain to you, but don't be resistant to it. Again, you got to look at the facts before you. They speak loud. You know, it amazed me when I hear of a doctor that's an atheist. He's stuck on why he got to be a doctor and fix on folk all the time, and why all this violence happening, where is God? Well, see, man is in charge. Man is in charge. But this has a limit. We're going to reach that place. We are soon coming to that place where we won't need doctors. We won't need hospitals. We won't need none of the things that we need now. We just won't need. Because we're going to that life that God expects, but he expects us to have an understanding. Because you got power, you're not God. And if you look around the world and look at what's happening, you see that a lot of people don't have that revelation. A matter of fact, I would say roughly about 85% of the people on the planet do not have that revelation. But let me read you this in 1 John 3:2. And this is John, the apostle, disciple, amen, the revelator, writing, "Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." And in Philippians 3:20 it said, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Now that's powerful. That's powerful. That is why we go through all these challenges. Because if we can't handle that, the power we have right now, it is highly unlikely God is going to let us have full authority. Think about it. They know that we only use 15% of our mind. I mean, they're recently trying to develop this thing. I've been reading up on transhumanism, But, you know, when they try, they really want to make cyborgs out of people because they don't think, they realize the potential is there. But what they don't understand is that the brain is not the fullness of our operation. Our spirit has the fullness of our operation. Your spirit knows everything from the time you left God when he made Adam. You know, people have these visions and these dreams, and they think that they come from another time. No, you came through, you traveled through the bloodstreams of all those people, and your spirit has the intellect, the awareness to remember all that. You didn't come, you haven't been here before. To get that out your head. See, that's the devil understands that, and he play that on people. You're not living a second life. The only second life you get to live is when you leave here. Okay, you haven't been here before, and most people, you know, and the amazing thing is in the Eastern culture where that's thought of a lot, where they think they relatives come back as cows and turkey. I'd probably get killed in those countries because I'm going to eat me some beef. You know, they don't know God. That's our job to intercede for them. But to be reincarnated is a curse. People don't know that. They don't talk to the people that believe that stuff. Or think about it. You go, you leave as a human, you come back as a chicken or a frog. That I don't call that blessed at all. Unless somebody step on you and I don't know what you come back as. But see, Satan has a full revelation of what we are. He's had 6,000 years to study us, and it didn't take him long to figure it out. I'm telling you, he has an IQ of about 2,500. That's why when he stepped out of line, God didn't cut him no slack. He didn't have no good reason to do what he did, to rebel. I don't understand why he thought he could be God. If he could be God, he'd be God. And yet you got people today thinking there is no God, they God, man is God, and they got it all figured out. That's another reason why I know this coming to an end. They're getting too big for their britches, as they used to say when I was young. They're getting too smart. They want to put chips in people's brains and stuff. And I mean, they're doing all kind of stuff, cloning. And let me tell you what I think this cloning is about. Satan is going to come back. Now, there's a lot of theories about the Antichrist, but think about this one. One, I don't think he wants a body with human residue in it, where a human has been in it. But if they can manufacture one that he could occupy that have never been occupied by a human, see, because there's always that potential for rebellion with a human in there, you know, that have been in there. So I think that's what that's about. It has good intention, good ideas, you know, giving people limbs back and all that. And God wants us to advance and improve our life. But, you know, that there's something, I think there's something sinister behind that. When we get to Revelation chapter 13, we'll see a little more about that. But anyway, so bottom line, we're reaching the culmination. All this technology that we have, God knew this. They knew this a long time ago because the simple fact that John wrote about it. And, you know, let's read this, the opening scripture, so we'll know what we're talking about here. Okay, all right. I should have marked it out, and I didn't. Anyway, hallelujah. Okay, there you go. Matthew chapter 24. Hallelujah. You with me? I'm reading out of the NIV, and it says, as Jesus was sitting, sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this happen? What will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age? Now, the end of the age in the world is a period of time. It's not talking about the planet. This is Earth, okay? But it's talking about us, basically, how man is in a time frame specific where man is in charge. Because you got to go back to the beginning when God created Adam, and in Genesis 1:26, he had already decided, he made a decision that he was going to give man complete dominion. You know, that's in Genesis 1:26. And everything to this point is based on that. So you got to understand that the decisions that God makes and the actions that he takes and don't take are all connected to that point. You know, that's why it's critical to understand how prayer works. Okay, and I'm not teaching on that now. I got some other videos on that. And this is, I'm just trying to kind of like give you an update to where we are going. Okay, so the last time we talked, I talked about the that aspect about the deception, coming deception of Satan and UFOs and all these different things that they're going to be doing. And we talked about the rapture, which is an event that, I can tell a person that doesn't have a worship prayer life, because when you argue over something about the word rapture ain't in the Bible, listen, you know what the person is talking about. It's so as if caught up, big deal, okay? That's a person trying to exalt themselves. I run into them all the time, and when they start talking, I don't even talk. You know, I don't even talk. The Bible said, Proverbs said, even a fool is wise when he finds the right time not to talk. Now, I'm not, because I can't change him. I don't change people. God gives us the authority to change ourselves. He gives us the power. He don't change you. See, people got a lot of things backwards because they don't, as my doctor, the late Dr. Scott used to say, pay attention to detail. And God gives us access to him. You know, that's how I learn. Some things you're going to learn. You know, there's some things I've learned and the Lord told me to sit on them. He specifically told me, sit on this till you hear your pastor talk about it. Okay? But you know it. And there are things right now that God tell me. I was going to make a video and God told me not to, because he won't, you know, because it's specific. But it also lends to something I was reading earlier, I believe, in Luke chapter 17. But anyway, when Jesus told them that they're not ahead, when he said when they start getting persecuted, some of them was going to die, but some of them was going to be protected. See, you got to understand, a lot of this relates to, those decisions relate to where you are in Christ. Not God doesn't arbitrarily pick. God honors faith. And some people don't believe everything. Some people don't believe nothing. You can tell it because they don't do nothing. If you don't pray, it's because you don't believe you're supposed to. It's because you don't believe God commanded you to. It's because you don't believe that it works. That's the only reason, you know. And that's, in God's word, summation of that, a person that don't pray for somebody every day, they selfish. Now, that won't stop you from getting to heaven, I don't think. For the most part, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it says that some people are going to be saved, yet it's by fire. In other words, that's why they call it fire insurance. They're going to get there, but they won't have nothing to present to God. Your prayers get presented to God. But anyway, all right, so we're talking about things. And the thing that I want to key on what Jesus said, in Luke chapter 17, about the days of Lot. You know, it's interesting. You know, I get people, you get people that they talk about the lost books of the Bible, you know, and my response to them, so you telling me an omniscient God who knows all things lost something. Okay, and every time I hear that, it's never somebody, I remember that when I was working, there was this supervisor, he was reading a book called The Lost Book of the Bibles, and my first question was, have you read the found book? And he looked at me I'm like, have you? No. Well, then how are you going to compare? How you going to know the difference? Okay? How will you know? But in Jesus, in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, and he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage. Until the day of Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, and it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. All right. You know, I like to know things. So when I see the term given in marriage, and it's amazing, people, I don't know. It mean you don't know. I expect people been Christian a long time to know some stuff. Anyway, especially in you in leadership. But anyway, ironically, you know, the book of, where did my notes go? The book of Jasher is mentioned twice in the Bible. Let me find that. And it has lately become of note to people. It's in the book of Joshua. It's mentioned in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, and in 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 18. So it's a book. There are lots of books. Because the Chronicles of the King, if you was in Detroit and you ever get a chance to visit the Henry Ford Centennial Library, I guess it's still called that. I don't know. They took over the town over there. They had a lot of books. But listen, if people want to read the 66, now I had a Bible. I don't know what happened to it. But it was the Catholic version of the Bible. And it has 72 books. And it does have some information of the gap period between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. All right? But the key factor, you want to know, what do I need to do to get my prayers answered and to get into heaven? So, you know, but anyway. So I've taken up to read the book of Jasher, and it does have a lot of details. It was that when you read the commentary on its existence, there was debate over its authenticity because it's a lot of events that are duplicated. Like, for instance, there's an event allegedly that occurred where Abraham was thrown into the fire, just like the Hebrew boys, and he survived the fire, but his brother didn't because his heart wasn't totally sold out to God. And, you know, so they don't based on that. But see, you know, every lie has some truth. And that's what I look for. And I have a phrase. Don't read the Bible. When you pick up your Bible and read it, I don't care what form you read it in, pray and ask God for revelation. Don't read a book about the Bible without praying and asking God for revelation. Don't even watch this video or listen to this radio without asking God for a revelation, because God speaks your language. You know, he knows exactly what you need to hear. And your situation, everybody's situation is different. All right. So in their reading, particularly the commentary on given in marriage, from what it says, back then, during that time, in Sodom, they had four times a year, they would have this event where they would have orgies, basically, that's the easiest way. But they, and now note this, they included children, you know. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it. I got it here. I'm going to read it. You got to, you know, because the thing about it is, they're doing that now. The state of California, and that's the only one I know of for sure, they've been trying since the 70s to introduce a law to lower the age of sexual consent to 12 years old. Now, notice what's going on. Back in the 70s, if you just tried to bring a drag queen into a school to read to children, that school might have got burned down. The principal might have got rolled out of town on the rail, as they call it. The drag queen would have got beat down. My generation would not have put up with that. They would not, oh, well, they're so nice and sweet. No, evil dressed up is evil. You can wrap evil in candy like Satan does, and it just like they know now that sugar is killing you. The evil wrapped up is evil, no matter what kind of wrapper you put on it, because they talk all night. Listen, a man has man plumbing, and if he thinks you're a woman, if you can't see demonic possession there, then you need deliverance. You got an issue, because if you come near my kids, I might wind up in the penitentiary. But I ain't got no grandkids now, so. But listen at this. It says, and all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah went out there four times a year with their wives and children and all belonging to them. They basically was like, got in an RV or they and took, you know, it was a vacation, I guess. And in that time of rejoicing, they would rise and lay hold of, listen, at that time of rejoicing, they would all rise and lay hold of their neighbor's wives, some, the virgin daughters of their neighbors, and they enjoyed them, and each man saw his wife and daughter in the hands of his neighbor and did not say a word. And this, and they did this so from morning to night, and they afterwards returned home, each man to his house and each woman to their tent, and they always did this four times a year. Let me tell you, it's some stuff about Sodom. Like I say, the book of Joshua is 90 chapters long, okay? Most people have never read. Like I say, that would be the whole New Testament, okay? So, there ain't no way they're going to read that. But I found it interesting because one thing about human nature, it has not changed. And we have not changed. And just like if you may remember, sometimes though they talked about in Sodom, if you showed up, if you didn't live in Sodom, they would starve you to death. They would capture you and starve you to death on purpose. This was what was going on when the angels that you read about in Genesis, I believe chapter 18 and 19, came down to check out Sodom and blow it up. They, you know, they got blown up after that. Now, we... To this day, they have these investigations going on about what they had over in Europe, where they had these situations where they were kidnapping people and using them to hunt them down and murder them. See, we haven't changed. And in their countries, with they have, quote, free sex. In other words, you can have sex in daytime or anywhere in broad daylight. They're trying to bring that here. I found out, see, this, you learn a lot. When I go to the airport a lot when I do Uber, and people tell me a lot of stuff, and they don't have no reason. We don't know each other, and I know a lot of this is true because I had a friend of mine that was in the military that was over in Germany, and they had never saw a prostitute before, so they driving down the street, they slowed down. See, they don't live in the hood. Anyway, and then they drove off. And then they got pulled over by the police, and the police said that they caused them to lose a sale by slowing down and not pulling over. She got a ticket for that, you know. Then they had these parks where it's like, well, we have a place here called Belle Isle. Just imagine you go to a park and you can park, and they got blinders up. They've got these big walls up so you can have privacy. You can just pull in and go in and just do your thing. I'm telling you, America is the most prudish country on the planet still presently. But you can see that it is going out of the realm that God intended for it, which is Judeo-Christian, which is do it like God say do it, how he say do it. You got your president, I'm telling you, something tragic is going to happen the day he signed the baby killer bill. I'm telling you, it ain't gonna be years. It's gonna be quick. I'm telling you, mark my word. That's one of the few prophecies I've given, because we in judgment as it is. We in judgment as it is. You think all these storms and tornadoes are just happening because it just happened? I don't care what they say is causing. I saw a college professor, renowned college professor, talking about it's the military and using a weather maker machine causing all this. I don't care. If it does not matter. I have. If you think a few years ago, there was a tornado. I mean, a hurricane that was, 400 miles wide. The prayers of the righteous turned it down from a 5 to a 2. And I mean, there's so many things. The point of the matter, I don't care who Satan get to pull it off, we have the authority, if we walking upright with God, to stop it. I'm telling you, this is what this is about. So we're in the last days. And the only thing that's going to slow this down it's obvious by the word that it ain't gonna get stopped, okay, is the present righteous. And that's my motivator. That's my motivator. And I try to get people into Christ and to get busy. You may not think that your little 5 minutes of prayer count, but your 5 minutes, your 10 minutes, your half hour counts with God. I'm telling you, he can do some things when you say some things, but he can't do nothing if you say nothing. That's how this life is designed. And see, and this is one of the things. Now, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's a really familiar chapter. You know, you should know where I'm going. Like I said, last week, Paul had to write them because what had happened, I'm glad my English teacher ain't here, was that they had already said that Christ had came. And just like now, you got several organizations that keep saying that. You know, that I met a preterist one day, and it's ironic. It's really amazing. If I say something, I'm going to tell you, you say, did you ask God about him? Like, I asked him first. Because, one, I don't waste time on stuff that I don't need to use, I can't use. Which is what I can tell you one thing about the book of Jasher. If you read the book of Genesis, you know all you need to know. Okay? Because all it does is give you what they have for dinner. That's about it. You know, details on that. It doesn't give you a whole lot of other information that will help you get closer to God. Let me tell you, it's simple to get close to God. Ephesians 5:18, it says, sing psalms and hymns and make melodies in your heart unto the Lord, that you be filled with his. When you filled with his spirit, that means you have his mind. Do you know how powerful that is? That is a big key to the Bible. That's how you get closer to God. Serve him. If you've been at church 2 years and you're doing nothing, now if you got kids and you got to keep up with them and all that, I get that. But depending on what church you at, some churches can handle that. Some churches, you know, depending on the facility size and all that. But you should be doing something. Serve as an usher. If you think that don't mean something, where do you die? And then God said, why didn't you, you know, hold the door for somebody? Everything counts with God. Don't listen, just because your name ain't Bishop, Apostle, Evangelist, they don't listen, they just have more to answer for. Believe me. When you get every title means you can't make excuses. You need to tell an omnipotent God you couldn't get it done. Shoot. Anyway. All right. So we're going to read. Now, see, this is here. I'm not going to get through this right quick because, again, we are talking about signs of the times, the end of the days. We are in the end of days. Listen, don't waste time hoping you can stop it because you can't. All right? This time in history, the prophetic markers, all of them are lit up at the same time. That has never happened. Everything down to the Shemitah year, God is bringing forth revelations we never had before. And that's because it's time. Why? He don't want you to miss it. I've always believed that when we get close, that God was going to make it so clear. Matter of fact, what did Jesus say? He said, no man know the day or the hour. That means you're going to know the week. You're going to know it. Listen, there's so much craziness going on. God hasn't reduced his power. People that have reduced using it. That's what's going on. Okay, Paul talking to the Thessalonians, and they're still on the map. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. Remember in the 1 Thessalonians, he talked about the rapture in chapter 4 and 5, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Now, pay attention. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember that, remember you ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that which, now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who will, who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's a lot to that. You need to read that whole chapter. Well, maybe I will. I'm going to read that. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause shall God send a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I know I said a mouthful, so let me go over some of these things right here. All right? Now, we're gonna be, over the next couple of hours, weeks, going to be sharing some of this stuff. See, again, as I said earlier, so Paul wrote this to let them know, no, Jesus ain't came. Cause you know why? They were still there. He told them what was going to happen in 1 Thessalonians. Okay, you're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's something else I put in my notes to make sure I emphasize that. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air in the clouds versus Jesus coming back down and ruling. Okay, because there's one group of Christians believe that the rapture going to occur at the same time Jesus coming down. That ain't even hog sense. But anyway, he said, let no man deceive you. Now, this falling away, I'm pretty sure some of the Uvalde parents have fallen away because they blame God for what happened when it was really them. They can't even blame if they belong to a Christian body, I'm at least give them that much, that don't believe the word, don't read the word, and then all they get is a little sermonette every week, and they don't know anything about the rest of the Bible. That's on them. The fact that they don't know that man is a spirit, has a mind, will, and emotion, lives in the body, and that he can command angels, that's on them. But you can see, and then you know, a lot of people are going to experience, they're experiencing it right now. So, I'm listening to thousands of people losing their jobs. Well, listen, God let you know what's going to happen. Jesus said, John 16:13, he said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He'll start telling you prepare. Back in 2009, our pastor told us, get out of debt. Because when the breakdown comes, it's going to be worse than this. And y'all know what happened in 2008-9. People got caught with their drawers around their ankle, all right? So point of the matter is, if you don't know, that's between you and God. But people don't think that way. I've run across them. I'm talking about being mad at God. You the one going to die, what you going to do? Call your congressman? I don't think that's going to make a difference. You know? What you going to do? Oh, I'm not going to heaven. Because you don't have no choice, heaven or hell. You don't have no choice. You don't get to stay on earth. You don't even know when you're going. So, but again, this is what's happening. Now, the revival that you may hear pastors talking about and different preachers, that's already happening. The biggest growth of Christianity is over in the Middle East. They're getting saved and dying at the same time. There are 300 million Christians under persecution. See, y'all, we have it. We live in large in America. They might call us some names, call us old-timey and all that, and ancient-minded and all kind of stuff. That's it. I don't know of anybody in America at this time getting their head cut off for Jesus. You know, and this folk, man, I'm telling you, I don't think Americans deserve it, that don't want to serve God, don't deserve to go to heaven. We have it made. Now that, you can see, cause of falling away. Your parents, you, your parents accept Jesus, and because they accept Jesus, you as a child witness them getting their head cut off. That could cause you to fall away. Okay? And there are people like that. The lady mad because her husband died. Well, you know, did he take care of himself? He has a role in that too. Did he pray? Is he where God say he need to be, doing what he need to be doing? See, Satan can only get at you if you are out of the hedge of protection. Read Job chapter 1 as a reference for that. As long as he was in that protection mode, Satan couldn't touch you. And as long as you in the protection mode, Satan can't touch you. That's why I'm telling you, there's a lot of things. It makes a difference. Now, and in this day and age, don't even blame, well, my pastor never taught us that. Listen, if you go on the Internet, you can learn anything you want to know on the Internet. The word seek is in the Bible over 300 times. That means you're supposed to seek out that information. Ain't nobody going to deliver it. Ain't no Uber word. They ain't going to bring you the word. Call it, bring me a revelation, and, you know, and I'll pay you. But anyway, no, it don't work like that. You seek. I learn what I learn. Listen, what I learned about angels, I haven't read in any book. I learned in Angels, Hebrew 1:14, I read that in every book that I've read. That they serve us, okay? And then I learned in Psalm 34:7, I've read that in every book. They serve us. And I read it. There's cherubims and seraphims and all kind of M's and D's. But the problem was, why do Christians get slaughtered? So I asked the person in charge of the angels, and that's the Lord God, Jehovah, creator of heaven and earth. And he explain the process to me. One, the reason you have to make requests daily is because that means that you have to acknowledge him daily. Like prayer, daily. You in submission to him. We are designed to work in a training mode. You know, when you walk, you don't take 10 steps, you take 2. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And your body adapts to that. It know if you take 1, it's going to take 2 unless you stop it, okay? It's again, we have to, because the level of power is so great, he wants us to be clear to us that he is God and we are not. So I have to go to him each day. And as long as I do that, hey, I'm going to be successful at it. I'm going to get what I desire. Believe me, I'm telling you. See, when my wife go out the house, I send angels with her. I don't go everywhere with her. They can. See, and I'm because she walk upright, they get to protect her. And that's another key factor. We got to do our part. See, so I don't even have to worry about that. I live with her. She live with me. I know if she ain't left me. That took a lot of faith. But anyway, but the point here is going to be a great falling away. Now, then there's the other aspect. I'm telling you, this is another one of my prophetic beliefs, that one of the attacks that Satan is going to use, and I'm starting to hear, is going to be prosperity. People got a lot of time on their hand, and you give them some money, and they'll get amnesia. Because that's one of the things, the other things that I noticed as I was reading the details in the book of Joshua, that Sodom was a prosperous city. You know, they had a lot of silver and gold. And the children of Israel, when you study out the book of Isaiah chapter 1, same thing. And you look at their history over that time period before they got there. See, when they got there, remember, they left Egypt with a lot of gold, man. They left about $500 million in gold. And once they got to the place where they could make it grow and spend it, they did what people do. They get amnesia. And I see that commonly. The hardest persons to minister to are people that have prosperity, that don't think they need God, even though they don't know what is going to happen in the next second. You know how many people, they don't give you records because they don't, I don't think they want to keep it secret because they say y'all panic over everything. But then, you know, imagine how many people get hit in the head with a meteorite and die. Do you know, one of the things I learned when I went into law enforcement was how many ways people die. You know, they give you homicide accounts, but they don't tell you all the different ways, the different suicide. I didn't know we have here in the Detroit area a bridge that connects to Canada. I didn't know so many people jump off that bridge every year. That's what the dive team does year-round, go and retrieve bodies from people jumping off. I mean, I've seen suicides. It's crazy. People blowing their brains out because a woman left them. That means get a replacement. She wasn't the one. What's the problem? I mean, so but people don't know. It's so many ways. People choke and die. I mean, there's so many things. They electrocute themselves. People still doing that dumb stuff. I get that, you know. I understand kids doing that. But you don't know. Trip and fall down the steps. You don't know. Car accidents. I mean, drunk drivers is like a you know, they made a movie. I remember the first one they called Death Race 2000. And that's what how many people you could kill from New York to California. And people act like that. Look at how they drive. Bottom line is this. There's going to be a lot of things happening. And the thing here is, I'm getting distracted here. You know, they taught us in ministry school about a word called discursion. That's staying on track. A great falling away. Prosperity going to drive people away because they have an ease of life. This is not the easiest part of life. If you got more time on your hands, you need to be reading the word. You need to be praying for somebody. You should be getting less of your time than God. I mean, believe me, I'm going to tell you something. God is the most exciting person you can commune with, I'm telling you. He'll show you things. He thinks you can handle it. He'll show you things you won't tell nobody because you'll have trouble believing what you saw yourself. I'm telling you. I can imagine what John was going through. He was seeing our time and heaven at the same time, and he probably like, man, what did they have in that pot that they boiled me in? Or did I eat some mushrooms? Listen, I'm telling you, you got to see take a look at what we are. We go from 100 million sperm to a human body and a spirit inside, and you think, there's no God? Man, that's the most retarded people. I have to contain myself not to immediately call them people stupid. I'm telling you. All right, so now, the other part about this, he said, there shall not come for that day. This is in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. He said, let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, okay, and that man of sin be revealed in the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist. That's who they're talking about. But this is another thing, too. See, I have authority over Satan, and I make it a point to live right so I can maintain that, all right? This is another reason why I believe the rapture. I'm a premillennialist, you know. anyway, and I don't think the other groups ask God about it. But bottom line is I have authority over him because when he go down later, which says he who, all right. Well, it says he who in verse 7, only he who now letteth will let. Now, in the New King James Version, they do the same thing I did. They capitalize every time. He is God. That to me refers to the Holy Spirit. He's going to back off. Now, I'm not going to be trying to debate. People hold different opinions on this. Obviously, we always do. That's why God created love, because he knew we wasn't going to all agree on everything. All right. But he who now letteth. Now, this is another scripture that says, I have to be out of here in order for the Antichrist to do his thing, because all the events that before, when it says he sitteth in the temple in verse 4, as showing himself as he is God. Now, that's after the rapture. Okay? He can't do that while I'm on the earth. Matter of fact, again, this is why I hold to my belief that demons cannot manifest physically in front of a Christian. You know, I mean, really, like these people, these ghost hunters, I don't think they saved. That's the only thing. Because they can't do their thing in front of us. They have to respect the Holy Spirit. See, people think they are in a group or a club. They don't realize it's something on the inside of them that makes them Christian. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what you have to have regard for. See, and I don't really get into that. That gives me authority over Satan. So that's why we have to be out of here. But you're seeing, look at churches. I watched about 2 minutes of this thing on Netflix with these pastors. They didn't go on Antichrist, you know. Listen, I don't have anything against anybody. Last time I talked about the fact that I was 6 out of the 7 items that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So, you know, they make like they the ones making a big deal out of the gay folk. Now, I do realize that they should have civil rights, all right? And that part I won't argue with at all, because they're no worse than an adulterer. James Fine was the biggest fornicator known, and they people hide they made him into a like a hero. they don't see things from the Bible perspective, and that's normal for Hollywood. See, people confuse that. They think Hollywood and heaven the same place, but they ain't even close. Okay, Hollywood close to hell. That's why it's got two L's. It's got an O instead of a E. It's really Hollywood. But anyway, all right. So, but the point of the matter is that we are in this time period. See, and that's the main thing that I want to get. So we got to get up out of here. And the thing is, reach out to your family. Just call some of them. See, I pretty much know almost, I know my generation and the generation under me, our children, for the most part, my kids are saved. See, I know this, you know. And because we are, again, I run into people every week that didn't know Jesus was coming back. They think it was a myth, or that's what they think, he's a myth. And even though they're seeing things, but at the same time, there are people I run into occasionally that want the revelation of Jesus. And nothing gives you more joy than to lead somebody to Christ, to snatch somebody out of the kingdom of hell, and actually ain't the kingdom of hell. Out of Satan's kingdom, because Jesus had a key to death, hell, and the grave. That's in Revelation chapter 1. Okay, Satan, he been evicted. He don't run nothing no more. Pictures of him sitting on a throne in hell, nah, he got kicked out. He lost that on Resurrection Sunday. But anyway, all right, so we got to that part. Now, and this is major, because We're talking about reaching a time, everything falling into place, the technology, okay? And we're going to go into the technological aspect of this right now. Remember last time I talked about in Revelation chapter 8 and about the asteroid coming that you can verify. And then in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that there was an event. That's World War III. Let me get that. And again, I distinguish World War III, Israel win, Armageddon, Jesus win. Armageddon is in Revelation chapter 19. He's just going to smoke them. That ain't even going to be a battle, huh? You know, even though we'll be coming in behind him, he ain't got nothing for him. You know, kind of like them movies I've seen with Will Smith, where they was fighting aliens with these jet planes. I'm like, right. Shoot. That ain't happening. Anyway. All right. So we're talking about an event that is coming. And what I want to focus on is not just, this is a coming event. This is going to happen during the tribulation period. We'll be at a party. So if you day you have to deal with this, you know, you'll be able to get saved then if you slip up and don't make it. All right, so Revelation chapter 11 verse 3, I'm gonna read verse 3 and then I'm gonna skip down. It says, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,000 203 days, clothed in sackcloth. Anyway, I would say clothed in humility, because I don't think they're going to wear sackcloth. Sackcloth was a dung bag. You know, they used dung, animal refuse for fertilizer, and they packed it in these bags. So when they wanted to show themselves humble before God, they would make like a gown out of a sackcloth. You put a hole in the top and two on the side and put it on, you know, it stank. And they would be lay prostrate before the Lord, as, you know, to illustrate their submission to him. But anyway, it says, I will read four. It says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner be killed. All right. And they had power to shut up the heavens, and they stopped the rain just like Elijah did. Some people believe that this is going to be Elijah and Enoch, because they never died. And this would event, because they're going to get killed. They're going to get killed. Anyway, so in your own time, you can read the rest of this. And then in verse 8, it says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So you know what that is. That's how degraded it had become. And they of all the people in all the hundreds, in all the tent. Hold on a second. Let me read this in an English Bible. Anyway, just give me a minute. It would help to get the right chapter on it. But anyway, bottom line is, it says in verse 7, it says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was also crucified. And then those peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in the graves. Okay? Now, back during that time, they had different estimates. Anyway, it would have taken more than 3.5 days just to tell people that these guys was in town and what happened. And it definitely would have taken more than 3.5 days for everyone. That's what it talks about, every nation and every tongue, every nationality, to see this event. But now, with the help of satellite TV, the whole world can watch it. And what happens after they get killed, they lie for 3.5 days in the street, and they party over this, and as pagans do, then they get up and fly back to heaven. So, you know, but again, the thing is, this could not have happened any time in history until the creation of satellite TV. It couldn't happen. See? So these are one of the checkpoints of time that we know, that lets us know that we are in the last days, because next week we're going to go back to when the Antichrist sitting in the temple, and how technology plays a role in that, and some recent events that have occurred that make us to know that we are at, one of those is right now, the nation of Nigeria has recently gone totally cashless. There's total chaos over there. People are nasty because they do a lot of deal. You know, they deal with cash, okay? Because they, you know, mostly because they try to deal without God, they do a whole lot of shady stuff. And, you know, you can do shady stuff when it's just cash. But now their money is total electronic. They outlaw paper money. So, that right there, then you got China and you got India, Australia's coming online, and America. So some things, a lot of these things that did not happen. See, with these all these earlier prophetic declarations that Jesus had already come, not to mention the nation of Israel, couldn't be. You know, and that happens because people, again, haven't read the Bible. If you read just the whole New Testament, you would know that he ain't came. That's why Paul had to write the Thessalonians to let them know, no, he ain't came yet. You still there. That kind of speaks for itself. I'm still here. You know, I'm leaving. Trust me. I paid a cost to not suffer this loss. Listen. But anyway, the number one thing that you have to do to make this trip, this journey, because it can happen any moment now. I mean, any moment, because it's kind of like the gap period between Malachi and Matthew. There's no necessity for us to rapture the day before World War III, which we don't know when that's going to be. Because that's going to be the clicking moment. That's going to click off the seven-year period. The rapture is going to click off the seven-year period. Okay, that 1,260 days, there are two periods in the book of Revelation that meet that out. So, but the point is, to be ready, just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I may not understand all that I've heard, but I will step out and believe you in faith. I believe that in your word that you are the only God. And I believe that all men were born in sin, as it says in your word. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I believe that you sent your son to die for our sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe with my heart, that I am saved, I am born again, I am forgiven. Amen. Amen. That just always amazed me how simple that is. I you know, when you minister, you ought to minister to people and get them saved. Because you know, they had this look. That's all? You mean I've been avoiding church because, no, listen, you may not even make it to church. You may not make it to church. They didn't say, well, you must go to church. No, you got saved just now, just then. Send me an email. Let me know what happened. I'll send you some material. And amen. And just remember, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling all my friends asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful.
Got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy.